right. Thank you, guys. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be in part number 10 of this spiritual growth through prayer. And I want to give some practical advice. We've been in this a long time. We're probably going to be in this growth through prayer about another month or so. Easter's coming up. I'm getting excited about Easter. And been praying about it, and I know you guys have been praying about it, and I'm just having a good time anticipating it. But we started last week on this how to pray throughout the day, because I think it's important. I think it's going to be neat when several hundred folks begin to pray up here on this mountain. We had a special time this morning, had a baptism in a 9 o'clock service. A young lady was baptized, and her dad just got back from Jordan, so he brought back some water from the River Jordan. And so we were able to pour it on her then baptize. And that was kind of special, neat little thing. But Ephesians 6:18 at the top of your outline says this: pray in the Spirit at all time with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up, and always pray for all of God's people. Now, we did part of this lesson last week, and so if you want to catch it on Stitcher, the app Stitcher, you can, or get one of those CDs in the back, or go to our website. I will just kind of go over it real quick. You know, we talked about this, how to pray throughout the day. We said we got to develop two habits. And real quickly, we said we got to keep a running conversation with God. These are the habits that I've developed, and what I mean by that is I don't say amen or nothing. I just kind of talk to God throughout the day. And that's the beauty of my ADD. I can come right back to it and never know I missed it. But anyway, and so we just I kind of keep something going with him all day and talk to him. And then I said you got to schedule a prayer time throughout my day. This is the nuts and bolts of it. This is what we're talking about last week, is scheduling a time. This is nothing new. We've been scheduling time for prayer for thousands of years. And so it's been going on a long, long time. And we got into a daily schedule built on the Lord's Prayer. That's why I ask you to go to Matthew chapter 6. And if you're there, we'll kind of get started. And we went over the first three phases of daily prayer built on the Lord's Prayer last week. We first said we got to get up with gratitude. And what I mean by that is I was trying to give you all about what I try to do during my day. Because the first 8 minutes of your day set the tone for the whole day. It's been kind of proven that. So I try to start my day with an attitude of gratitude. I try to give myself a few minutes of awake time so I don't have to jump up and I'm late. I don't have to jump up and I'm running behind and therefore kind of messing my day up. And so I lay there for a few minutes in the bed and I thank God. I thank him that he's a good father and that he's been good to me and for all he's given to me and my family, and I thank him. And so I kind of get away from there with an attitude of gratitude. And we have to start with that according to the Lord's Prayer. And then I told y'all it's something silly to a lot of folks, but I make my coffee, and I'm the only one who drinks house in the morning, so I drink instant coffee. And I heat my water up for 2 minutes and 40 seconds in my microwave. And while I'm standing there in the watching the water go round and round in the microwave, I sing El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. And I kind of go over God's names, and I praise him. That's what I do around 5 o'clock. That's what I'm doing in the morning is that. Well, then around 9:30, 10 o'clock at the diner, I don't make a big deal out of it. I just kind of slip into the bathroom, because lots of times what I've found out is around that time, things might not be going as I planned. You know, it might be different or something's going on and I just need to get back on track. And so I go to number three, which is the dedication time, is I try to remember, this is every day, I try to remember what matters the most. And what I remember is Matthew 6:33, in those times about 9:30, 10 o'clock, that I try to put God's agenda first. God's agenda first and not my agenda. And that I remind myself that I'm to be more interested in what God's got going on than what I've got going on. And that his interests are far more important than mine. I try to remind myself every day to put him first. And I usually do this around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Now, number 4, we'll get right to it. That's the review of last week. Number 4 is this: list my needs at lunch. Coming up on lunchtime now, this is, 12, 1 o'clock. I list my needs at lunch. I call this the petition part of prayer. And I list my needs at lunch. Lunchtime's a good time for you and me to talk to God about all the things that we need. We've started with gratitude. Secondly, we went to praise. And then we went to dedication when we commit ourselves to his plan and purpose. We kind of got back on track. And so we might as well get to now listing what we need. What do you need? And the reason why I like this, because it's lunch and you may be eating a sandwich, right? And so this is to remind you of Matthew 6:11. The next verse in there says, "Give us today our daily bread." Well, what's bread? I mean, bread really represents everything. It's not just something that we eat. It's money. It's stuff that we need. It can represent resources, contacts, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever you need in your life. It's stuff that fulfills you. Bread, it's stuff that sustains you, that keeps you going. And we pray this every day. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." What I think is kind of neat about this is he taught us to pray our daily bread, not our monthly bread. He says, so we pray, "God, give me what I need today. Give me what I need today, not next year, today." And when I think about this, I think of the manna. Y'all remember the story of the manna when the folks came out of Egypt and God would bring manna down from the sky, and the folks would go out and they would gather enough to eat, but then it would be rotten by, nightfall the next day. So they couldn't gather enough for a week. They just gathered enough for today. And it taught them to depend on God daily. So see, when we pray, "Give us our daily bread," that's what it does, you and I, to teach us to depend on God daily. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll write it down in my journal. I have a prayer journal, and I'll put my needs, I write them down, my needs in a prayer journal. You don't have to, but when you list your needs at lunch, just while you're eating, it's a simple thing. I think sometimes we get too complicated about our prayer. You just say, "God, here's some stuff I really need some help with. Here's some stuff I just really need some help with." And lunchtime is a good time. It's the fourth time of praying throughout the day. What do I do? Here's what you do. Write this down. I ask for anything I need. I ask for anything that I need. And I want to say that again, because I ask for anything I need. There is no need to be embarrassed. Here's what I would even suggest that I found out. I would even suggest this, that you, before you go buy something, ask God to give it to you first. Ask God to give it to you first. Just give him a chance. I mean, he may not give it to you, but you may be missing out on a blessing. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And so there could be a whole bunch of stuff that you've never asked for. I would just hate to know that I got to heaven one day and he shows me this big warehouse. And all this stuff is tagged, stuff you never asked for, that's on the wall. You could have had this, Jim, but you never asked for it. You see, it's my job to ask for it. It's God's job to decide if I need it or not. So really it doesn't hurt for me to ask for it. John 14:13 says this: "You can ask for anything in my name." Now at lunchtime, I don't want you to just leave something with your needs. I also want you to do this. Write this down. I ask for what other people need too. That's T-O-O. I ask for what other people need too. This is intercessory prayer. Where you pray for a friend, whether you pray for a family, or sometimes people come to the diner and they'll ask me, they'll say, "Jim, would you pray for me or pray for something about something, and I'll write it down. I usually try to pray for them before I leave. I never, if somebody asks me for prayer, I want to pray for them right then. But also write it down. So when I go in the bathroom around lunchtime or when I pray somewhere else, I just sneak off. It's not a big announcement that I go. And I pray for those folks. I pray for those folks that have asked me to. And this is intercessory prayer. I ask for what other people need too. You know, praying for yourself is called petition. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. Sometimes we sin when we don't pray for the people that we love. Sometimes we do that. Now, I'm your pastor, and I pray for you because I love you. But I also pray because I don't want to sin against the Lord either. I don't want to get caught doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I pray because I'm supposed to. And what I've kind of got down, I remember writing this down in my journal somewhere about praying for other people. It's important. Guys, about 15 years ago, I finally came to the conclusion, I matured in my growth. It may have been longer than that, but I'll say 15 years ago. When I was able to pray for other people's success, when I was able to pray for other people to do good, I believe was a big mark of my maturity. So we got to do that. We got to be able to say, I want them to succeed, Lord. Pray bountiful blessings on them. I want them to be healthy. I don't want them to be sick. I want them to win. You know, unless they're playing Adairs. Well, I want them to win. But it's important that we pray for other people. What I wrote in my journal was this. Don't just ask for me, ask for we. I remember writing it down. Don't ask for me, ask for we. It's pray for us. He says, give us our daily bread. He didn't say give me. He said give us our daily bread. 2 Peter 1:3 on the back side of your outline says this. Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. I don't know about you guys, but by lunch sometimes I'm already stressed out. Are y'all? You're just already stressed out. Because the day just hasn't gone the way that we want it to sometimes. You know, things didn't work out that way. It's things are overloaded. Deliveries didn't make it. People called in sick. Our machine broke down. Anything, computer breakdown. Anything could happen. And so you're just stressed out by noon. I want to tell you something about that. If that happens, I want to give you a favorite verse of mine. Philippians 4, 6, 7. I'm going to share this today at the funeral, I think. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace, peace. I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you do this kind of lunchtime prayer, I promise you, your afternoon's going to get a lot better. Peace. Stop and pray in the middle of the day. List all your needs. List all your needs. And I guarantee you when you go back, you're going to be peaceful. Your soul needs fed just as much as your body. So stop and pray. Stop and pray. Now, you've gone back to work. It's kind of mid-afternoon. For me, mid-afternoon to me is kind of when we close. And I'm usually wanting to take a nap about then. It's when we're sleepy, we're kind of sluggish. And I don't know about you guys what you do. Some of you I know. But I'm in the people business. And here's what I found out about people. Some of you guys are goofy. Some of you guys are just real, real, real frustrating. Now, don't look at them. But some of you guys are frustrating. And so by mid-afternoon, about the time I get off, I got kind of a bad attitude sometimes because of y'all. Actually, it's not. It's because of some sins I have let pile up when I look in me. And so what I do, I try to real quickly when we close up at the diner, is number five, I ask for forgiveness in the afternoons. I ask for forgiveness in the afternoons. I've made it a habit. It's a confession time. I ask for forgiveness in the afternoons. I just take a little prayer break. That's what I say. I don't have to tell people, you know, when I do this and that I'm doing this. And you know, I don't tell Nick and James and all them that I'm doing this. I just go take a little break, and I talk to God. But here's what I ask him. Lord, is there anything in my life that I need to clean up? Is there anything in my life that I need to clean up? Any sin that I need to confess? You know why? I don't want to carry this garbage the rest of the day. I don't want to carry the garbage the rest of the way. Now, it don't take a long time to do this. Now, I'm not talking about a long time just to steal off by yourself in the bathroom. How long does it take to take out the garbage at home? Not long, does it? It don't take long at all. And why do you take out the garbage at home? Huh? Keep your house from stinking. That's exactly why you need to do this every day. Around mid-afternoon, confess your sins to keep your soul from stinking. You need to get the garbage out of your house. Out of your body. Don't let your soul start stinking. Matthew 6:12 said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Confession is just owning up to our own sins. I'm going to tell you something, guys. This is just something that came across my diner table this week, and so I want to share it with you. And maybe you ought to write it down. Here it is. There's never any reason for you to walk around feeling guilty if you know the Lord. There's never any reason for you to walk around feeling guilty if you know the Lord. Take out the garbage. This guilt and resentment, it'll eat you up. It'll wear you out. I mean, sometimes we feel guilty over things that we've done. And sometimes we have resentment over something that's been done to us. Well, you need to clear that out on a daily basis. You need to clean it out every day. Get it away from you. Take the garbage out. Because here's why. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I don't have to carry this guilt. That's why he died. He died on the cross so we didn't have to carry the guilt around. So write this down here. I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me. I forgive others who frustrated me. I admit my sins first. Then I forgive others who frustrated me. I'm going to tell you guys, there is no rational reason if you're a follower of Jesus Christ to carry around guilt. Just confess it. Admit it, confess it. You should feel guilty for about 3 seconds, just enough to lead you to the cross where you can admit it, confess it, and receive forgiveness. I found a new verse this week, and I want to share it with you. Psalm 32:5. I confess my sins to you, and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me, and now all my guilt is gone. That is freedom. That is power. All of it's gone. All of it's gone. I like that. I don't have to walk around with it. Not if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, here we are. We headed home. We headed home at the end of the day. Diner's closed. Office is closed, plant shut down, all the cords rolled up. We're at the end of the day. By the way, I want to tell you something. Did you know that 90% of the world's arguments happen 1 hour before supper? Did y'all know that? Y'all know why? Low blood sugar. Low blood sugar. You're hungry. You're tired. You've had all the stuff from the day before happen, and you take it out on each other. Husbands yell at their wives. Wives scream at the children. Children kick the dog. Dog chases cat. Cat pees on my couch. I kill cat. I shouldn't have said that, should I? But you're cranky. You're tired at the end of the day. You're hungry. I say all that to say this. Just be aware of that time of the day, that it's a prime time to get into an argument, and it's wise to ask for help. This is the sixth prayer, phase of prayer. Number six, ask God to help me make wise decisions and protection from making dumb ones. Ask God to help me make wise decisions and protection from making dumb ones. One of your elders, Paxton Hamby, used to tell me, I don't know where he does it now, but on his way home right there at the creek where they're doing all that construction on 140 now, Paxton would get to the bridge and he would metaphorically throw out his problems. He would throw out his stress. He'd throw out everything that he went through during the day. He would throw into the creek so he didn't take them home. I know another guy that goes to church here. He's got a bucket. He found it at some old antique place. And when he gets home, before he goes in the door, he reaches and he touches that bucket. He's putting his problems in that bucket that he's had at work or he had during the day. And he doesn't carry them through the door. They don't go in the house with him. Matthew 6:13 says this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some of my worst, and maybe some of your worst temptations are in the evening. Would you agree with me? Some of the worst temptations. I think they come from two demonic sources. You know what they are? The TV and the refrigerator. I don't know what it is, man. I can go pretty good eating all day. I do real good. I get home from about 6 to 11, I'm just grazing. Anything that comes. But I think they're from the devil, you know. But when you're tired, your resources are low, you get to arguing, you hurt people unintentionally. You ever notice that happens in the evening? You don't mean to do it, but you just hurt people. So it's a good thing to do, to pray before you walk in to your home. Lord, deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from it. And for some of you, TV is a big temptation. You know, watching, me too, I shouldn't say just some of you, watching stuff that we shouldn't be watching. Maybe it's your computer. Now, I don't have that temptation because I'm not a big computer person, but some of you might be. You know, it might be a big temptation. You need to pray that prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into temptation. But it just so happens, if he does, I want to give you a verse. Write this down, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want you to go back to this. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Guys, we all go through the same temptations. I want to tell you something about temptations. You are not special. You're not special. Everybody goes through them. You're no different than anybody else. There's good news. If there's common temptations, then there's common solutions. If everybody has them, there's common solutions. God is faithful, and he will help you and I face them. I love that this verse reminds us that he shows us the way out. There is a way of escape, but we have to choose it. I want to tell you, it's not a sin to be tempted. That's the first thing I want to tell you. It is a sin to give in to temptation. Martin Luther had a famous saying. I want to share it with you. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. The temptations are going to be there. The birds are going to fly over your head. But it's your choice to let them nest there. It's your choice to let them land and make a home there. You can't control every thought in your mind. But God gives you a way out. I want you to think about this next time you turn your TV on or the computer or whatever in the evenings when you just kind of want to veg out. Psalm 101:3 says this, I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. That's Psalm 101:3. Now finally, I'm at the end of the day. Getting ready for bed, putting my onesie on. These are my last prayers. This is when I pray the last, number 7. I end my day with an encouraging truth. I end my day with an encouraging truth. I call this a benediction, which means a good word. A good word. I try to remind myself to read some promises from God, or I keep some Christian books, both fiction and nonfiction, on my bedside that I read. And I want something positive to finish my day with. Matthew 6:13. I wish I could remember to read this every night. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. If you and I could think of that and remember what it means, I guarantee you we're going to sleep a lot better. If we could just think of that last truth, because there's 3 encouraging truths just in that verse. Number 1, God is in control. That's the truth, not politicians, not other countries. God is in control. Your boss is not in control. God is in control. The second truth to that verse is this ain't the end of the story. This ain't the end of the story. Today wasn't the end. The third truth is this. God and his family win in the end. We win. If you're in God's family, we win. But if you go to bed and the last thing that you've watched and put into your mind is the news or the Walking Dead, oh my goodness, you're going to be depressed. Look what Corey Ten Boom said. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Guys, it all matters how you end the day, what you're looking at. What you're looking at, what you've got your eyes on. What are you reading? What are you looking at? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Good night, Lord. I see you in the morning. Did I always try to end it like I told you I'd do? Is there anything else that you need me to do, Lord? And I say, may I rest. And I sleep better than I ever have when I do that. Last night that was done to me. I got a text from Tom. He said, hey, you need anything? I said, I'm good. Why? He said, I'm just checking my list. See, it feels good when somebody asks you. I needed that little encouragement. And he was obedient. And I felt that Tom was checking his list. Is there anything else you need me to do? Then may I rest. I got to work here lately. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to sleep now. Tomorrow, we're going to do it all over again. I'm going to wake up with gratitude, what I'm thankful for. I'm going to sing to you while we're making coffee. We're going to have a good morning. Good night. It sounds kind of silly, I know. But praying is big business. It's huge business. He wants us to talk to him. Try it and just watch and see how your day goes. Those 7 phases of prayer. My day's good. Let's pray. My Lord, For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. You're a good God. And you've been so good to me. I pray for my folks here. Every last one of them, I love them. And I pray that they succeed in everything that they do. From business to parenting to relationships being restored. I pray that they are led not into temptation, but if they are, that you provide a way out and they choose to take it. I pray that we make wise decisions. And yes, Lord, protect us from the dumb ones. Lord, I think that I just believe that a lot's going to happen in the next couple of weeks due to prayer. There's a bunch of folks reaching out to you, wanting to talk to you. We're excited for you. So, Lord, I love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.